take those. We're going to sing song number one. Just over in the glory land.
Oh,
Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for all you've given us. We thank you for the privilege we have to meet here. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that we have it and that we know we have it and that nothing is missing. We pray that you would guide and direct Brother Renzi as he teaches and preaches your Word today, that we would learn something from it, and that we would be comforted by the truths of your Word. We do pray also for the morning service as we celebrate the Lord's table, that you would help us understand the importance of that each time we do it. And we pray that you would be honored and glorified by all that's said and done. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. No big announcements during this service. The one change I want to make, just in case somebody didn't hear, is about Gina Fry. She was supposed to come on September the 10th, but due to a schedule conflict, she's going to be coming a week later on the 17th. So that's the only major big thing I want to make sure everybody heard. So that's pretty much all the announcements right now. We do have a birthday. I want to make sure I mention that before I forget it, but he isn't here yet, so hopefully we'll get him in the morning service. It's Brother Dennis, so I'll try to get him later. All right, we're going to move on now to another song in the 101 book. It's number 89. In the resurrection morning, we shall rise.
Thank you.
have some children here for Sunday school, so they can be dismissed now. Ephesians chapter 6.
Turn to Matthew chapter number 6, please. We are continuing to talk about prayer. And this morning, believe it or not, we're going to finish one of the segments. We've spent the last few weeks, I don't know how many weeks, but we've been talking about prayer. And that's okay, right? Because you and I, as God's people, we need to be a praying people. Amen. We need to be people who speak with the Lord, who talk with the Lord. Amen. And so we've been talking over the last few weeks on the purpose, or technically the purposes of prayer. One of the purposes, as we mentioned, was that prayer is a mandate. We've been commanded by the Lord to pray. The Lord wants us to pray. Although he knows our every need, still he wants us to talk to him about them. Amen. So we talked about the one purpose. It's a mandate. We've talked more about the fact that not only is prayer a mandate, but prayer is a means. And we've been talking about that for weeks. We started that thought with James 4:2. We have not because we ask not. Amen. And so prayer is a means of not getting what you want. Amen. It's a means of getting what God wants us to have. Amen. One of the things we all have to be careful about is pushing for what we want. Sometimes the worst thing we can get is what we want. Amen. We can look at the history of Israel and how Israel, they wanted certain things, and God tried to say, hold on a minute, think about what you want. Remember, they wanted a king like every other nation, and God sent Samuel to tell the people, look, if you want a king like every other nation, you better know this, he's going to take. It's going to cost. Amen. But they said, we still want it. And so, by the way, they paid a price for it, no doubt about it. Then the children of Israel, they wanted meat. You remember? We want meat. And God said, do you want it? Okay, you got it. And you're going to have it so much, it's going to come out your nose. I mean, he gave them what they wanted, but sent leanness or emptiness under their souls. You and I, if we could only want what God wants, we'd be better off in prayer. Amen. Because if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. Amen. And so we have not because we ask not. We talked about prayer being a means of salvation. I think that's the first prayer that anybody ought to be able to pray. And that is, Lord, save me. Amen. And that's the prayer of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And so calling on the Lord from our hearts is the key to salvation. And that is prayer, by the way. And that prayer is based on hearing the gospel message. Amen. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But for you and I that are saved, that have already called on the Lord, prayer is a means of what we call sanctification. It's a means of getting the victories in our life over the flesh, over the devil, and over the world. And by the way, every Christian has a sinful nature still. I wish the day that I got saved, my sinful nature was gone. Oh, wouldn't that be great? But then again, I would have woke up in heaven. It'd be like, Lord Jesus, save my soul. And all of a sudden you wake up, you're in heaven. Then you don't have no more fights. But the fact of the matter is, the guy who told us how to get saved, if he'd have prayed and went to heaven, we wouldn't have heard. So we have to open our eyes here, go through what we have to go through here. For what purpose? You know, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3. The long suffering of the Lord in reference to the Lord's coming. Because remember, people, Peter said there are mockers and scoffers who are going to say, where is the Lord's coming? You've been talking about the Lord. Why ain't the Lord here? And Peter says, listen, the Lord's promise is, he's not slack. He will keep his promise. The whole reason he's not showed up yet is he's long suffering to usward. Usward meaning all humanity. You know, if he came, we're all in good if we're saved. But this world's in trouble. And so account the long suffering of the Lord is for salvation, for their salvation. Amen. And so, but nonetheless, we all have flesh. And by the way, Paul had flesh. Paul said, in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. Amen. I like to say this, and it's true according to the word, our flesh is not saved yet. Our souls are saved. Our flesh is not saved yet. One day, we've been singing today about heaven and about the resurrection, and we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this flesh will be changed. Amen? That's the change we're looking for. Amen? Until then, I didn't go to sing. I'll carry on and so on. But until then, we have the Holy Spirit, thank God, because he's the power that's in us that gives us the strength we need to overcome our flesh. Amen. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Let the Spirit have his way in your life, and you'll not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. Amen. We have a flesh. We battle the flesh. But thank God, greater is he that is in us. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit. We, through the Spirit, the Bible says in Romans 8, I believe, verse number 13, we, through the Spirit, can mortify, which means put to death, the deeds of the body. Amen. The only way, it takes God's strength in the inner man. In fact, Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians for those Ephesian believers to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Amen. And so my inner man is my spirit that has been made alive since I got saved. And the Holy Spirit dwells in me, and he gives me the inner strength I need to conquer this outer man. Talk about never grow old. Amen. Isn't that a good thought? Those who are going through knee issues, titanium? I have a titanium hip. And so, you know, going through all these things, I mean, it's a wonderful thought that we're not going to get old over there. Amen. And I like the thought of the scriptures too. Though the outward man perish, and it does. You know, it's amazing. The day we were born, we began to die. Isn't that the truth? We began to die. And though the outward man perish, thank God, the inward man, that's the real you and I. Amen. This here is a tent. And it's going to be folded one day. Amen. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. Amen. And that has to do with sweet hour of prayer. But nonetheless, thank God we can overcome this flesh. Though the outward man perish, I was delaying until I figure out where I was at. The inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. And thank God for that. So through prayer, we can overcome ourselves. And by the way, that's why being totally humble and honest before God in prayer is the key to victory. Being honest. Dear Lord, this is what I want to do. I want to wring his neck. Oh, I heard some lady say, yeah. Lord, that's what my flesh wants to do. Please help me for his sake and for your name's sake. Amen. But that's how we get it. Dear Lord, please help me to overcome the devil, the flesh, and the world. Amen. These three enemies that we battle all the time. All the time. Amen. And so prayer is a means of sanctification. We talked about the fact prayer is a means of consolation. You know, we live in a crazy world, and the only way that we can have any sanity going through this crazy world is by the Lord. And prayer is a key to casting all our cares on him, because he cares for us. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. That means he's going to hold you up and keep you going. I can't handle these burdens alone by myself. Amen. I would fall under the weight of the burdens and the pressures of life. Amen. Thank God we can take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen. And that's what prayer does. Pray about everything and worry about nothing. Oh, I wish it was, you know, that's easier said than done, isn't it? Can I get a witness on that one? Easier said than done. But nonetheless, prayer is a means of salvation, sanctification, consolation. Prayer is a means of provision, all kinds of provision. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. We pray for our provisions. Prayer is a means of confession. Forgive us our debts, we pray to the Lord, as we forgive others, our debtors. Amen. Daily confess our sins. Amen. No doubt about it. Prayer is a means of direction. We talked about that last week. Why do we pray and seek God for direction? Because we have no idea which way to go. Amen. It is not in man to know his own way. We need the Lord's direction in our lives, and praying to the Lord for his guidance and his direction, his leading, his moving is the key. Amen. I pray this, Lord, open doors if it be thy will. Close doors if it be thy will. And so that just allows me to try the door to see if it's open or closed. Amen. And we talked about that last week. Now, did I say Matthew chapter 6? Good. Okay. Matthew chapter number 6. We were talking about many of these things in reference to what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is the prayer the Lord told the disciples about praying. Look at verse number 9. We'll just read, and then I'll close up with the thought that I want to focus on this morning. He said this in verse number 9, after this manner, therefore pray. And we talked about, he said, pray our Father which art in heaven. Again, we're directly praying to the Father through Jesus. Amen. Prayerfully in the Spirit. Nonetheless, verse number 9, hallowed be thy name. Recognize the holiness of God's name, if you will. Verse number 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And what a day that will be. Amen. And thank God for it. But verse number 11, give us this day. That's part of praying for provisions. Give us this day our daily bread. It's amazing. This day, there's an anticipation. We ought to pray day by day. Amen. Verse number 12, and forgive us our debts. And that talks about confession. We talked about that. And you remember we talked about confession. We need to daily confess our sin. As somebody said, and it's been said over and over again, how many times I've heard it, I can't remember. Keep a short account of sin. You remember hearing that 1,000 times. I say, why keep any account? I as much as I possibly can, if I know it, I'm answering, Lord, forgive me. Amen. Lord, forgive me. Amen. Just try to keep the way clear. No doubt about that. Verse number 13 was the leading for guidance and direction, and lead us not into temptation. But look at the next statement. Deliver us from evil. The evil one, the devil. This means this. Prayer is a means of protection. It's a means of protection. Praying for deliverance is the essence of praying for protection. Amen. And I thank God that we can pray not only for our own protection, we can pray for the protection of others as well. Amen. I want you to see something. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. Prayer is a key to the protection of the Lord. In fact, when you read and study the scriptures, you see a lot of praying going on from a lot of people asking the Lord for his protection and for his guidance and for his help. In fact, I believe, you know, as we're talking about Ephesians 6 and in our memory verses, it lists the different armor, the parts of the armor and putting on the whole armor. And then verse number 18 says, in praying always. Amen. See, I believe that prayer is a key also to the soldier's protection, if you will. Amen. Prayer is something that you and I can do not only to protect ourselves, which we'll look at in a few moments, but prayer is something we can do to protect our loved ones. Amen. Those of us who have loved ones, I hope you're praying for you. I pray for my loved ones every day. Every day, pray for my wife and my children, pray for our parents and our siblings and I just, our extended family. Not that I pray for every individual by name a lot of times, especially when it gets to the extended family. Amen. Because sometimes you don't even know who's part of the extended family anymore. But nonetheless, I thank God that he knows who they are. I like what Paul said many times. He said, I make mention of you. Amen. And so I pray for God's protection. Now, obviously, I think, and you would be honest with you with yourself as well, your prayers are more fervent for the protection of those that are closest to you. Amen. When you pray for your spouse and you pray for your children, to me, that's even the more fervent prayers. Amen. And so I thank God that we can pray a hedge about our children. We can pray a hedge about our loved ones and so on. And look at in Acts chapter number 12. Let's look at a story about how prayer made a difference in the protection of the apostle Peter. Acts chapter number 12, let's begin in verse number 1 just to get the context of it here. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Vex means to trouble, to hurt, if you will, to persecute certain of the church. And I mentioned this in preaching before that sometimes the devil's not worried about every Christian. Now I believe to a degree he is. But there are some Christians that he just really, really concerns himself with. Amen. It's like Herod. He necessarily was saying, well, let's crush the whole church, though he'd like to. His focus was certain of the church. There were certain of the church that were leading the church and that were kind of a big target, if you will, for him to attack. Now look at verse number 2. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He killed James, the first martyr here. Actually, not the first martyr, but the first of the apostles. James and John, the sons of thunder. You remember their name, surname, sons of thunder? Isn't it amazing how John was a son of thunder? Remember James and John when they went to a certain, they were headed to Jerusalem. They went through, I believe it was Samaria, and the Samaritans did not receive respectfully Jesus as he came because they saw he was on his way to Jerusalem. And remember James and John, the sons of thunder, said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down on these people like Elijah did? And Jesus said, whoa, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Amen. That's the sons of thunder. Isn't it amazing? By the time the Lord was done working with their hearts and with their lives, we find John the apostle was the apostle of what? Love. Love. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing what God can do. When he first found them, they wanted to go out there and kill for him. Amen. And by the time he was done with them, they were just in love with him. Amen. And that's the transforming work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse number 2 says, and when he killed James with the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews. By the way, is the Jews like that? They didn't like these Christians, these people that were turning their world upside down, who were aggravating them and going against their religion. So these Jews like that. And because he saw it pleased them, what did he do? He proceeded further to take Peter also. Well, if you like what I did to James, I'll tell you what, you'll like what I'm planning on doing to Peter. Amen? And so he took Peter also, and the Bible says then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he got a hold of him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. Boy, talk about protecting him, huh? To kill him, right? Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse number 5 says this, Peter therefore was kept in prison. What's the next two words? But prayer. What we find is we find Herod, he had already killed James. And he was intending, no doubt about it, to kill Peter. But prayer. See, what's going to happen is when it comes to the protection of Peter, prayer can make a difference. Amen? And it does. But prayer was made, get this, without what? Ceasing. We found that thought before, right? In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, is it? Pray without ceasing. Prayer was made without ceasing, what? Of the church. Boy, the church is important, isn't it? Amen? By the way, how many were in that gathering? Probably not that many. It was Mary's house. It was a house, and probably big enough to hold a good group of people, but it wasn't a great multitude. By the way, God's church, no matter how big, no matter how small, two or three are gathered in his name, can make a big difference through prayer. Amen? The church is the bride of Christ. Amen? And when the bride speaks to the groom, I think we can anticipate some answered prayers. Amen? He goes on to say, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Amen. That's a good, simple thought, isn't it? The church without ceasing is praying to God for Peter, for him, if you will. Now, verse number 6 says this, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping. Oh, boy. How in the world do you sleep when you're on death row? Think about that. Now, Peter had an example. James was already dead. And yet this man is sleeping here between the soldiers. There have been speculation as to why he could sleep in such a situation. The Lord had told Peter that he was going to be old by the time he died. You remember that? The Lord said to Peter, you know, when you're young, you can go wherever you want to do and so on. But when thou shalt be old... So Peter knew, obviously, he wasn't as old as he thought he should have been to die. So obviously, some believe he was just resting in what the Lord had said. I wish I could rest in what the Lord said in circumstances like that. Amen? Well, the Lord said it, and so we can't worry about it at all. What? That is so ideal. Amen? Oh, boy, I love that fantasy thought there. I just wish it worked for me all the time. Amen? By the way, I'm sorry for being honest. Some preachers would get up and say, this is what we ought to do, folks. And the reality is, I mean, why do you think they sell Tums? But nonetheless, look at verse number six. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So there's about at least four people there. They got him chained up, and he's enjoying some rest, some sleep. Verse number 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord. Now, it's not specifically said, but this could be the Lord himself, a theophany, possibly. If not, it was a messenger from the Lord. Amen. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. Boy, talk about having to nudge him to wake him up, right? And that's what it said. He nudged him on the side. He smote him on the side. And he raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Obviously, this is miraculous work. Verse number 8. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself. In other words, I'm not going to get you dressed. Get yourself dressed, right? Gird yourself, bind on your sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Verse number 9. And he went out and followed him, and he wist not that it was true. You know what that means? He needed somebody to pinch him. Think about that. He wished not, and the word wished means he didn't know if it was true. In other words, he thought he might have been dreaming about this. This is so unreal. This is so unbelievable. This is so miraculous. Pinch me. Is it real? Amen? And that's what happens. So verse number 9. And when he went out, he followed him, and he wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Verse number 10. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened of them of his own accord. How about that? They had automatic doors back then. Amen. Supernaturally. supernaturally. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed. Once the angel got him out there on the street, he kind of left him, verse number 11. And when Peter was come to himself, wow, you know what that means? It means this, he woke up. He woke up. By the way, I read that statement before. You know where I read that? I read it in Luke chapter 15. I read it about the prodigal son. Remember when the prodigal son, you know, asked for what belonged to him? He went out, lived riotously, lost everything he had. A famine came. He wound up selling himself to feed the pigs. He wound up almost eating the pig food. And then it says he came to himself. You know what that means? He woke up. He woke up to himself, and he actually had to speak to himself. And that's what he did. And here's what he said. Look at me. I'm almost eating the pig food. And at my father's house, the servants have more bread. He came to himself. He woke up. Amen. By the way, that's the essence of revival to a degree. You got to come to your own situation and your own. You got to be honest with yourself about your situation and say, look at me. Look at where I am. Because if you never wake up to where you are, you ain't never going to determine to get where you got to go. Because that's what the prodigal did. He woke up to his situation, woke up to his circumstances, realized, look what I've done, look where I put myself, but I'm not going to stay here. I am determined this will I do. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go to my father, and I'm going to say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. My first concern is I've sinned against God and before you, and I'm no longer worthy. You remember the story, but it all started when he came to him, so he woke up. Anyway, Peter, he thought he was dreaming. It was just so unreal. But then he woke up and came to himself and realized, this is true. This is true. I think many of us are going to wake up one day in glory. Amen. Look at verse number, where are we at anyway? I'm saying verse number 11. Thank you. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know that of a surety the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Verse number 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. You remember John Mark, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. He came to that house, that place of meeting. Verse number 13 says, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate. Wow. Unbelievable. Isn't this unbelievable? She was for gladness. She got so excited she didn't open the door. But she ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Unbelievable. This man just been through some miraculous things, and then you got a human being that's going to interrupt everything. Amen? Remember, if the angel would open that door as well. But nonetheless, look at verse number 15. And they said unto her, here's what they said when she told them the good news. Thou art mad. Girl, you're crazy. You're crazy. Peter can't be outside the door because we're praying for him. Think about the logic, shall we? Amen. That's not supposed. We're in here fervently praying for God to protect him. He can't be outside that door. That'll end the prayer meeting. That may actually turn this thing into a praise meeting. Amen. Look at verse number 15. And they said unto her, thou art mad. You're crazy. It's amazing, isn't it, how we pray for things and we probably don't expect certain things. Now, I don't know that I can say they didn't expect God to answer their prayers. Maybe their thought was, Lord, while he's being held there, Lord, while he's under there, captive, Lord, protect him there. Maybe this is one of those where God did above, let me say, abundantly above what they could ask or think. Maybe that was it. Maybe they're just saying, oh Lord, yep, just keep them safe while he's there. Lord, protect them or give them the grace to die. Amen. Maybe this was their prayers and all of a sudden they're finding out, no, he can't be out there because we're praying for God to protect him in the jail. Amen. Oh boy, get expecting God to do something and then not accepting what he did it. Amen. Verse number 15 goes on to say, and they said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And she said, no, this is true. This is true. Peter's outside the gate. Then said they, it is his angel. Verse number 16. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Verse 17, as it closes up, but he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought out, him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Isn't that something? Prayer from the church protected Peter, not only in the prison, but got him out of the prison. Amen. Let me take you to another scripture. Would you turn to Psalms chapter 34, please? Psalms chapter number 34, if you would. We're talking about, actually, boy, do I want to do that. Yeah, hold something in 34. We'll see what happens. Time is flying because we're having fun. Can I get a witness on that one? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You're not supposed to have fun in church. I want you to look at, what I want you to look at. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 21, please. 1 Samuel. We're talking about prayer's a means of protection. Prayer's a means of protection. Prayer is not only a means of protecting ourselves, which we're going to look at right here, but prayer, thank God, is a means of protecting our loved ones. Amen. And even our missionaries, as you think about the church praying for Peter in that situation. Did I say 1 Samuel, right? Chapter number 21. Yes, 1 Samuel chapter number 21. Prayer is a means of protection. Through prayer, God can change things. Amen. He can help us. He can rescue us from dangerous situations. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 21. Gives it tells a story in verses 10 into chapter 22, verse number 1. And I want us to just see this little story here and just kind of note, if you will, how prayer makes a great deal in protection concerning ourselves even. David's a wonderful example of a man who prayed, no doubt about it. And through prayer, God protected him and kept him alive and safe. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 21, beginning in verse number 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. Now, Saul obviously was trying to kill David, no doubt about it. Amen. Saul knew that David was going to be the anointed of the Lord, that he was going to be the king of Israel. And so Saul tried to kill him, by the way, several times. And Saul was hunting him down. And it says here, David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. And he went to Achish, the king of Gath. Basically, David went to Philistine territory. David went to enemy territory. Many believe he shouldn't have done that. Obviously, he was maybe seeking help where he shouldn't have been seeking help. Amen. Getting out of the will of God. I thank God that, you know, we may sometimes get out of his will, but we're never out of his care. Amen. And so nonetheless, David got himself in a situation where he went to run from Saul. Verse number 13. And he, verse number 11. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm going to skip over the main portion, right? Verse number 11. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? It's amazing. David wasn't the king, but yet the enemy knew he was the king. Amen. He proved himself to have more leadership and more power with God than Saul, for sure. Anyway, verse number 11 goes on to say, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? In fact, that's one of the reasons that really Saul got real mad at David. Amen. They were singing the praises of David because God had used David to even defeat Goliath. Amen. And they just were singing, you know, giving David more praise and more honor and glory than Saul. And that's one of the reasons he's got real mad and real jealous, if you will. Verse number 12, it says this. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. In other words, David realized, oh no, I'm known here. Amen. These people know who I am. They recognize me. And he laid that to his heart and he got afraid of the king of Gath. He goes on to say in verse number 13, and here's what he did. He changed his behavior before them. And he feigned, if you will, that's a hypocrite right there. That's pretending. He feigned himself mad in their hands. Can I tell you what he did? He just acted crazy. He acted crazy. David figured, I'm in a place here. They recognize who I am. They're going to kill me. And all of a sudden, he just acted crazy. Amen. What a plan. What a plan. Amen. I live in the city of Philadelphia. This does work, folks. I mean it. It really does. I've used it before. We're in the inner city of Philadelphia, and I would go to work, and I worked in a very bad neighborhood, and I would jog to work a lot of times when I was younger and thinner, but nonetheless, and I would go through some bad neighborhoods, and I had a guy come up to me one time and probably didn't have a gun, but he acted like he did, and he tried to rob me, and I just acted crazy on him. I was like, what? And he's like, oh no, I got the wrong guy. And he just went off. I wasn't going to hurt him, you know. I wasn't going to let him hurt me or shoot me or something like that. But nonetheless, I just acted like, you know, because they know people in the neighborhood that act like that. You don't want to bother with them. Amen. So I acted crazy and I got out of it. And that's what David did here. David figured, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to act crazy. And he does that. Look at verse number, yeah, somebody's got to help me. But look at verse, thank you, 13. And he changed the behavior before them and feigned himself to be mad in their hands. And he scrabbled on the doors of the gate. He acted like he was trying to write something. And he let his spittle fall down upon his beard. It's already gross enough, isn't it? Verse 14. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore have you brought him to me? Have I need of mad men that you have brought this fellow to play the mad man in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Verse number 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. It worked. It worked. You say, Brother Matt, we're talking about prayer being a key to protection. Is that right? Is that right? Is that what we're talking about this morning? I don't see anything in there about prayer. Do you? But it doesn't mean it's not there. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 34. Because Psalm 34 is the commentary on what exactly happened in David's heart and in his situation at that moment. See, there are things that you don't see that are there, that are there. Did he just come up with this idea to act crazy and be able to be delivered from it? No. In situations like that, you got to act crazy, but you got to pray. Amen. I think they said to pray and keep your powder dry. I say pray and keep your acting up. Amen. Act crazy. But look at Psalm 34. And obviously we're coming to the end. So I'm probably going to get into this whole chapter, Lord willing, next Sunday school. Okay. We'll get into this whole chapter. But let me give you the gist of it. Look at Psalm 34, just verses one, a few verses, beginning of verse number one. David said this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. What we have here is David expressing victory. He's just excited. He's basically excited that he had victory. And here's his testimony. It begins in verse 4. He says this, I sought the Lord. By the way, if you have a King James Bible and you look up on the top of it, it says this before we begin to read it. This is a Psalm of David when he changed behavior before Abimelech, who drove him out. This is telling us what David was doing during that time. I sought the Lord. Dear Lord, what am I going to do to get out of this? I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He knew he was a dead man. Dear Lord, how am I going to get out of that? I don't know that any of us could have gave him as much counsel that he got at crazy. They don't have that in the books nowadays, do they? They'll say, what do we do to get out of this situation at crazy? Amen. And here's what he said in verse number five. He goes on to say, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. And perhaps he's talking about in history how people look to God for deliverance. And when they did, they were not confounded. They were not disappointed. You look to God no matter what the circumstance or the situation, God can get you out. He can get you out. And if not, he can get you through. Amen. Verse number 6, he said, this poor man, he's speaking about himself, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Amen? And then he says in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Remember that angel of the Lord that encamps around those that fear him, deliver him? Connect that with Acts chapter 12. That angel was around Peter and delivered Peter. Amen. We got to quit on this one here. But Lord willing, next week we'll try to go. I want to take you through Psalm 34, the whole chapter. But at least now you understand. He got himself in a situation. You know, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that when sometimes we get ourselves in a situation, God don't say, well, you got yourself there, get yourself out. Isn't that good that he doesn't do that? The children of Israel got themselves in a situation. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. And although they put themselves there, thank God, God provided for them while they were there. God took care of them. He could have said, it's your bed, you made it, sleep in it. But he helped them in their situation. Amen. And thank God for that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. I do pray that you'll bless our time of fellowship. Bless the upcoming service. We pray thee in Jesus' name. Amen.